Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help us grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventures, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Greetings.
Hello, everyone.
Howdy. I just want Southern. It was easier.
Where's the twang at?
I know. Well, I'm Steve Church.
Howdy.
Howdy. greetings, our lovely listening audience.
Yes,
tonight.
Yes.
So glad that you've allowed us to come into your living room, your car, your computer tonight.
Yes. We are excited about this episode. I haven't said that in a couple episodes. But guess who we're talking about? Everybody? David. Yes. King David.
Should have known.
I know it.
Should have known.
But he's got some good stuff.
He lived a unique life, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Are you a little biased in that?
Well, perhaps. But, I mean, if you read Psalms alone, I mean, poor David. He did suffer a lot. But he always trusted the Lord, which is what we're going to read about tonight in Psalms 31. It's the prayer of trust, trusting in God. So, you know, David, I was thinking this before when we were discussing what we were going to discuss and studying. And, you know, David didn't have all of these things that we have, all of these, even a Bible. But, boy, did he trust the Lord.
Yes, he did.
And he was blessed for it. But we're going to start tonight in Psalms 31. It's a psalm of prayer. And he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." He didn't say my righteousness. He said thy righteousness. "Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." And verse 5, he said, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O God, O Lord God of truth." We know we've heard that before. Jesus said that on the cross.
Yes.
"Into thy hand I commit my spirit." And
I think that is, David used that term, but he started using the term in verse 1, "my trust."
Right, he did.
It equally means the same. This is a very unique study as David is praying this prayer, and he's looking to God for his deliverance, looking for his help. And so in this prayer, David makes 8 requests, but here's the good news. God gives him 8 answers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's encouraging tonight that knowing that our prayers gets higher than the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
And so during this thing's here, but also this is a unique prayer. As you study, this is a great study chapter because you really study it all out. And there's in a study of this, you find that it encourages us and challenges us to pray.
Yes.
And by this, it's knowing that God answers our prayers, but also in these 8 prayer requests David made, there's also 16 blessings that was found because David prayed.
Right.
So that's an encouragement to us to say, hey, I'm going to spend time in prayer because it does bring blessings.
It does
bring answers. It brings breakthrough. It brings deliverances. It brings a peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David was in distress
during
this particular psalm. And Lord, he said, "In you, Lord, I put my trust." You know, when we're able to do that and we feel comfortable in doing that,
right,
that's a great step.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they say, well, I can do this. I've got friends or I've got means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
David didn't have that.
No, he did not.
David was alone.
Well, and he didn't say, "In my time."
Yeah.
He didn't say, "Do it this way, the way I've planned it out."
Right.
He said, "In thy righteousness."
That's it.
In your plan, in your...
He said, "Lord, I'm trusting you to fix this for me."
Right.
"I'm trusting you to deliver me here."
Yes.
And so that is a great, then he acknowledges, I think it's in verse 3, he acknowledges how he sees God.
Right.
He sees him as a rock.
Mm-hmm.
He sees him as a refuge. He sees him as a place of a foundation in his life.
Well, David trusted him, just like you said.
He did.
He trusted him. He was never ashamed of him.
Right.
You know, these things make a big difference when you're petitioning the Lord for something, which is what prayer is.
It goes to relationship, to knowing who God is.
Right.
And David knew who God was.
He certainly did.
That's one thing. David may have made some mistakes, but David knew who God was.
And you know what? God knew who David was.
Absolutely.
So if you want God to know who you are, follow in David's footsteps.
That was relationship.
Yes.
Wow. Through David's prayers, through David's songs of praise, through David's psalms of worship,
mm-hmm.
David had a relationship unmatched by anybody else, as far as I was concerned in this deal. But David said, he said, acknowledge in verse 3, he says, you are my rock and you are my fortress.
Yes.
He said, you're a place I can run to. You're my shelter during this time of need, great need in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he acknowledged in verse 4, you know, he says, I'm facing a net.
Yeah.
He said, I need you to pull me out of this. And I can probably speak for a lot of people here. There's probably a lot of people that are facing those nets.
Absolutely.
Tonight, or whenever they're reading this, they're probably going to say, Lord, I need you to pull me out of this net, just like you did David.
That's right. We've all been, the enemy's going to lay traps for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's hoping, well, the Lord's not going to be paying attention to this one this day. And that's not true.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
God watches over his people.
Yes, he does.
Wow, he does.
He knows every hair on your head.
He does. So David, you know, acknowledged, he said, Lord, you're my trust, you're my rock, you're my fortress. And verse 4, he says, you're also my strength.
Yes.
So that just comes by just knowing God.
Right.
Knowing what God is able to do.
Yes.
He's able to see us there. And you went to verse 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, he said, I commit my spirit. That's a lasting,
He's just saying, no matter what happens, I know you have me.
I know you, yes.
Whether I live, whether I die, whether I go through terrible trials, whatever happens to me, I'm going to
trust you. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord.
Amen, that's right.
Amen, I am the Lord's. That's and that's comforting, knowing that we have that confidence in our God. Wow, that is absolutely fabulous.
Well, he said, O Lord God of truth. He knows that knows that our God is the truth.
Amen.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Not some, what does it say in verse 6? Not some lying vanity.
Right.
Not some false idol.
Mm-hmm.
Not a golden calf or the moon god or sun god. He said, God, you're the God of truth.
Yes.
Oh, praise God.
That's right.
That's the difference. Everything else is lying, false gods.
That's right.
But only our God is the one true God. He's unmatched. He's unequal to.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God that cannot lie.
Right.
And
well, and you know what else? You know, back then they did have these gods that they built these big idols for, you know what I mean? But what are our idols today? Yeah. What are we putting before God? It's anything you're putting before God is an idol. And I guarantee you, if you remove that and you put God first, the changes you're going to see in your life are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because I promise you they will happen, and it may take a minute because you're gonna have to really let go of that.
Examine our hearts.
Yes,
it goes right back to what Paul said. Examine our hearts.
Yes,
when we examine a heart, find out what's in it,
mm-hmm.
or find out what's not in it.
Right, what we're lacking. Yeah,
find out.
We have lots of lack in that department.
You know find it, but trust in the Lord. That's what David said. He said, "I've hated them that regarded that trust in lying vanity." He said, but Lord, I made a choice,
mm-hmm.
and I chose to trust in you.
I pick you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what we've got. He set him above the rest.
Yes.
I mean, he set him up to the place where he said, I trust you. Well, that's what we got. We got to learn to trust the Lord in his way, in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths.
Well, in 7, David says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. So he's saying, you've seen my behavior. You've seen where my heart is, where my, you know, it lies in you. And can we all say that
Yeah.
all the time? Some of us have to work a little bit harder at it, but it's doable. You know, the Lord blessed David from an early age.
Yeah.
And he brought him up, and he just kept doing greater and greater and greater things for him.
He did.
He will do the same for you.
Absolutely.
But you got to grab on and go.
when he said in verse 7, I will be glad in thy mercy.
Yes.
That's anybody.
Right.
Anybody that is experiencing God's mercy that allows us to enjoy compassion and peace and joy and kindness. We can rejoice in God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goodness of what mercy is. You know, grace allowed us to have an uncondemned life, but grace allows us to enjoy God's compassion.
Right.
It allows us to enjoy God's peace and kindness and goodness. And so thank God. So no wonder David said, I'm gonna be glad. I'm gonna rejoice in thy mercy.
Right.
It does give us a freedom. It gives us that sense of ease. Say, Lord, you've got this.
Yes.
And it takes the stress off of us of worry and fretting and doubting, just knowing David said, I know, Lord, I know you. I've done made a choice to put my spirit in your hands, and I'm going to trust you. You're the true living God here. Right? Oh, this
You know, there's sometimes that when you're looking smack dab in the face of adversity, you go, okay, Lord, where are you? What's happening? But I promise you he's there.
He's right there.
Yes. He's already where you're getting to. You just don't know it. But he's there.
He's already in your tomorrow.
That's right.
He's already there working out all things for our good.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
Praise God. Praise God. I like 7 there too. I just want to throw this in there. He says, for thou hast considered my trouble.
Who would think God had time to consider David's trouble?
At all God's children on the face of the earth, he still has time to watch over you, consider your problems.
Right. That's right. All he's asking for you, your love and for your devotion to him, that's all he's asking you.
It just shows how expansive our God is, how great he is.
Yeah.
That, you know, let's go back to the subject. I'm his number one. He loves me more than anybody else.
Right.
But he makes us feel that way.
He does.
You know, each one of us, because he shows each one of us individual time and individual care. You know, and the Lord is so near. He knows us better than we know ourselves.
He does.
And when he says he considers my trouble, you can guarantee that.
Right.
You can guarantee he's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the ins and outs of it.
And you know, sometimes I'll write down, Lord, here's my dilemma. And I'm leaving it in your hands. And then I can go back later and write down the answer, how he brought me through that.
Yeah.
And you will see him in it. Every time you get
through it,
you will see it.
Well, you've got to let him in it.
Yep.
You know, we can't do it on our own.
We can't do it. It's a rough road if you do.
And this chapter tells that.
Yes, it does.
And this chapter speaks volumes of that David is trusting the Lord, relying upon the Lord. He said, Lord, you consider my trouble. And you've known my soul. He knows how we're going to react. He knows how we're going to respond. He knows how we're going to come through. He knows every area that our thoughts during that time. He said, you've known my soul. You know my mind. You know my heart. While I'm in this, going through this time of adversity here, you know, but that just lets us know that God is so personal with us. He's our great high priest.
Yes.
And he shows himself strong. And so, anyway,
it is good stuff.
Oh, man.
Well, verse 8 said, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my eyes with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I mean, this is trouble, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, he is jello. If you read all the things that he's saying, I'm like, he can't even stand upright.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. He's worried. He says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance, that they did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel.
Yeah. You know, when we look at this verse 8, as you started reading there in this particular verse, he says, thou hast not shut me up. That means to give over to your enemy. Mm-hmm. It also means to abandon. God has never abandoned his child.
Nope.
He has never abandoned. When you look at the three Hebrew children, you look at Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, God never abandoned them during their fiery trials.
Right. The whole Israelite, the whole...
God will not do
that. Yeah, the whole Exodus.
When David said, I put my trust in you, David said, I know you're not going to leave me nor forsake me.
That's right.
He said, I know you're not going to give me over to the will or the plans or the plots or the schemes of my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can depend upon you. Because if you look in verse 9, he says, for I am in trouble. He's referring to the time that Saul was chasing him and threatening his life and trying to kill him. And that was an equal to 21 different times in David's life that his life was threatened. But he's realized that God said, you're not going to give me over.
No. And this is your best friend's dad.
True.
Think about it that way. If you think my best friend dad has tried to kill me 21 times.
Yeah.
And David loved Saul.
He did.
He just wanted to be pleasing to him. He wanted to win victories for him. And what happened when he won the victories? It made Saul jealous, which is what caused all of
that. And jealousy caused Saul to react in the way that he did.
He
just started hating David and wanted to kill him, murder him. And so you gotta be dangerous with that. But notice here, let's go back, let's not skip this. This is good stuff. This is good meat right here. He said, so in the process of David's distress, in the process of going through this trouble and adversities here, look in verse 20, he said, thou hast set my feet in a large room. And the spite of when everything seems to be collapsing and falling down around him, God just blesses him.
Yes.
He enlarges him. He gives him success. He gives him prosperity. He gives him an enormous enlargement of his kingdom. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't think just because you're going through something that God's abandoned, you're forgotten. That's when God is doing a greater, deeper work inside of us. He's, I'm going to bless you.
Yes.
The more your enemy persecutes you, the more they despise you, the more I'm going to bless you.
Praise be to God.
Praise God.
You know, he said he put his feet in a large room. If you've ever been in a situation, I know you have because you've done many services, funeral services, preaching, and you are in a room bigger than you've ever been before, and you think, what am I doing in front of these people? And just the Holy Spirit has to take over. And before you know it, you're through it. And you've come out victorious.
Amen.
Because you trusted the Lord to get you through it.
That's a good word.
Yes.
God promotes us.
Yes, he does. And he gives us favor.
He does.
Yep.
Are y'all hearing this tonight, audience?
Right.
Are y'all getting this tonight?
This is good stuff.
This rare will, this is enough to make a jackrabbit slap a hound dog. This is so wonderful.
He watched some violent cartoons as a child.
Of encouraging word tonight.
Yes.
It is meat for your soul. You know, whatever you're facing tonight, ladies, whatever you're going through tonight, look at the word. Take it from the words of David tonight. By experience, how God has blessed him. He saw him as a rock and a shield and a fortress and a strength, the Redeemer and the one who made him glad, the one that caught him to rejoice and one who blessed him. And my Lord, I just, I could almost preach this tonight.
It's good. It's good stuff. I'm telling you, David just keeps producing.
This will light your fire.
That's right. That's right.
This will light your fire.
Well, David said in verse 10, he said, because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed.
Yeah.
You know, he
felt the pain.
He did.
He felt the pain of what he was going through. It was real. It was a real part of his life.
Yeah. He was going through a griefing. You know, in 10 he says, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. That one verse, 10.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. That right there is enough to make you lose some sleep over.
It is. It is. David was experiencing that extreme grief in his life. I use that word heavily, extreme.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we heard our hangnail. But David was facing some real life issues.
He did.
He was fighting for his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, our life was spent with grief. Wow. It was a difficult time with him.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, He says that my strength faileth because of my iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a pretty tough time.
Yeah.
It affects you physically, affects you mentally, affects your bodily.
Well, stress causes heart attacks. Absolutely. We know that.
Absolutely.
And for what he was going through, you know, he says, I'm going to reproach among all mine enemies. You know, he didn't feel love on this earth.
Mm.
He was looking for some answers.
Yeah.
And he gets them.
Yeah, he does. Yep, because of his innermost being,
mm-hmm,
was being even affected, not just the physical,
mm-mm,
but his innermost being, right, was being affected by,
right,
this.
Because how many times have you, my thoughts will not slow down.
Yeah.
You're like, I've got to go to sleep, and your thoughts are just racing. That's how I see David.
Yeah.
He's up in the night. He can't rest. He's talking to God, and he's grieving for all of these things that he's going through, and he's begging the Lord. Is,
yes,
what he's doing. I need you right now, Lord, to get me through this. But he said in 12, and I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I mean, he was very depressed in that verse right there.
Yes. Yes, he was he felt broken.
Mm-hmm.
He felt like, you know, in another passage of a scripture in Psalms, where is that Psalms? Is it Psalms? Let me find it real quick. I think I read it yesterday. I forgot since yesterday. But he said, in that particular Psalms, he said, I feel like a bottle in the smoke.
Wow.
You know, sometimes we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're at wit's end. Well, that's what he said in Psalms 107:27. He said, I'm at wit's end.
Right.
You know, but that's why we have a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
When we've been hunted down like a dog, been threatened with our life, our walls are crumbling down, we're going through severe grief. It's affected our appetite, affected our thinking, affected our everywhere. We've become a reproach to men. David was in a lonely, yeah, lonely, low estate in his life.
Yes, he was.
And so I think that's one of the things we need to focus on in this study here tonight is when we go to the Lord in prayer, believe that God is going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this prayer, God did do something.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing something.
Right.
And David recognized that. If you go back to verse 5, he said, Lord, thou hast,
mm-hmm,
redeemed me.
Yes.
Notice when that was inserted,
right,
and notice the word hast, which, mm-hmm, means in our time it would be have,
mm-hmm,
or has.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, you've already, mm-hmm,
redeemed me. Yep.
He was acknowledged, said, Lord, I trust you because I know, whoo, my Lord.
Yeah.
He said, I know already I've already been redeemed from this.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord. Let's pray for our,
yes,
audience tonight.
Let's
give them,
pray,
victory, Lord. Give good our
Lord,
audience victory tonight, Jesus. Lord. Lord, truly we have victory in Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, for the listeners. Lord, the ones who have found us or stumbled across us, Lord, or just found us by accident, Lord, the one who has intently, Lord, turned us and dialed us in. Father, tonight, Lord, I would just pray the portals of glory would open up, and as you would begin to minister, Lord, to every heart right now, Lord, you consider what they're facing tonight. Lord, you consider their dilemmas. You consider their troubles tonight. But God, as David said, Lord, you have already redeemed me. God, our people has already won the battle. Lord, they've already won the victory tonight. Lord, they're coming out stronger than what they went into. They're coming out as gold that's been tried in the fire. Father, I pray the blessings of God upon them tonight, Lord, supernaturally. Lord, with a heaven coming down tonight, God, Lord, with a fresh invasion, Lord, of the holy angels right now, Lord, on their situation, it will be resolved. Lord, the answer's on the way. Lord, the solution has been found. Lord, give them peace, Lord, to the inner core of their body, to the inner core of their spiritual soul tonight, God. Lord, let their mind, Lord, let their thoughts, Lord, be upon you, to let them be lovely, Lord. Father, remove that doubt and worry and stress tonight, Lord. And Lord, as we focus on you, Lord, as we trust, Lord, we put a deeper trust in you tonight, Lord, and believe it. Everything's going to turn out for our good and for your glory. Father, we bless you for it tonight. We love you for it. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you for the life of David. Lord, we honor you tonight, Lord. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's a good one. Y'all should go back and read that whole Psalms 31. It's good. But just want to say thanks for listening tonight to the Messiah's Misfits podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took some time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.